This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, that's enough. I don't want to get yelled at.
They were sitting around. They're like, okay, all right, let me think about this.
What kind of lyrics?
Let's do the numbers.
10, 9,
let's count up.
8 76ers. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Write that down.
Oh, that's gold, Jerry.
There was 1 2 3 4 5 6ers.
There was a big old piece that somebody did on this of the making of this song. I'll find it and send it out at CLE.
There's
talking
a
heads.
Making.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, a making of this cheese ball song.
Uh-huh, because they play it after every win.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'll find it and send it out at CLE Talking Heads.
What was the Browns movie, the Gladiator? Oh, I can't think of it.
Draft Day?
No. It was the one that they did locally, and they shot it at Squire's Castle.
Jack Lemmon?
No, that's the fortune cookie.
Yeah.
And that was, like, I know all the other movies. Why can't I think? It was, this was like Golick's in it. This is going to drive you nuts.
Okay, let's not
Everyone's
do that.
Looking at it. No, it's that was the Barbarians or, oh, man. It's going to drive me nuts. I don't know why you got me thinking about that, but I would like to have seen the behind the scenes.
I don't know why we have you thinking about it either.
Well, because he was talking about the behind the scenes stuff on that. While I think about this for a second, think if the Vikings came out and said
yeah.
they don't want Aaron Rodgers, so the Minnesota Vikings, I'm just reading this off of ESPN. Minnesota Vikings are moving past. What are you laughing at?
I'm just reading this off ESPN.
Well, no, I'm just giving them courtesy because okay. I don't want to.
That's
what I was more doing. I didn't write this.
They appreciate that.
No problem. The Minnesota Vikings are moving past their discussions with free agent quarterback Aaron Rodgers, leaving the second year J.J. McCarthy, the player J.J. McCarthy, atop the quarterback depth chart as the offseason practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're done. They're like, we're not playing your game anymore, Aaron. Aaron, you're done. See ya.
Good Peace out. Them. Good for them.
I say good for them too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. He plays that waiting game, man. I get too antsy on that stuff. I'd have to make it happen.
Good for them.
But what does that mean for everybody else? What does that mean for the Browns? What does that mean for these, you know, we talked about 4 or 5 teams that are looking for a quarterback?
I would think for Russell Wilson, Russell probably thought, oh, I was hoping he'd go there, and then I could get a little bidding war between the Steelers and the Giants. Instead, what are you looking at now? You know what I'm a little surprised at, Andy? And tell me this. I'm a little surprised at this. That the Steelers appear to be waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision.
That is not very Steeler-like,
is it?
No, not at all.
We got a guy who's over the hill, might still have a little bit left, but we're holding up everything to wait for him. Cam Hayward yesterday came out on a podcast and he said, hey, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. And I loved it. Good for him. Good for him. They have, you know, they have their own ways. They have their own ideas, the Steelers. And, you know, we're kind of envious here in Cleveland. Good for them. Or good for Cam anyway. But I'm surprised that they're waiting around. I would think at some point the Steelers or the Giants are tired of waiting around. And they don't they're just going to say, "Hey Russ, how much? What do you want? Let's do this." and let's make this work. Or, hey, Carson, what do you want? Come on in here. No, we're drafting a quarterback, you know, probably at 3, because we don't think 2 are going off the board at 1-2.
All right, let's talk about another quarterback here, because his name came up earlier in our show. We've been talking about him for a while, and it was just a matter of, you know, is this someone the Browns might be interested in? And that's Joe Milton.
Of the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know that he's of interest to them. I threw out, remember when we were just starting all the quarterback stuff and everything else, I threw this out. And I this still intrigues the heck out of me. Patriots have Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, and then they brought in Joe Milton. Hey, drafted 2 quarterbacks in the same draft. How about that? And then Joe Milton went out and looked okay. He had to play a game and did a good job. And he's big and big, strong, fast arm. He's got a big arm. And I thought, okay, if the Patriots want Abdul Carter or something like that, would you drop down to 4 and take Joe Milton and the 4th pick for the 2nd pick in the draft? You know, let's just say let's say the Browns want Cam Ward. He goes number 1 to Tennessee.
Right, so now he's off the board.
They don't really like Shadur.
Right.
These are all just assumptions, okay? I don't know that. Let's say they don't want to use the number 2 pick on Shadur Sanders, but they're really intrigued by Joe Milton. Would you drop down to 4, take Joe Milton, and trade the 2nd pick?
Are you
get a 3rd thrown in, something like that? Why not? If you don't want to take that quarterback at 2, and I'd love to get Joe Milton. And then you put Joe Milton with maybe somebody you draft, or you go sign another veteran, and Joe Milton becomes your developmental guy. All just right, like you drafted somebody, he becomes your guy, and you got Pickett, Milton, and somebody else. And you go play.
All right, so what's the game you have to play at 4? Because at 4, you know,
you'd end up with either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Right.
Because I'm assuming the Giants would take Shadur Sanders at 3.
But you're not taking Milton to... If you're taking Milton, you're bringing him in here to be your starting quarterback.
Not necessarily.
Well, then
I'm bringing him in.
Would you take Shadur Sanders at 4?
Not if I like Joe Milton more.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm I don't know.
I'd be.
Would you flip picks?
I'm hard pressed to think that Shadur Sanders is going to get past the Giants, but you never know.
Okay, so if he does get past the Giants, that means you probably have Travis Hunter.
Possibly.
Well, okay, I'll take that.
Or Travis Hunter could end up going to New England at 2, and then Abdul Carter is sitting there, perhaps.
At 4.
Andy, there's...
I don't think Carter's making it to 4. I just don't.
Well, you might be right, but who knows? See, New England doesn't make that trade unless they have the hots for one of the other of Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and they want to make sure they get him.
And really, they're talking about just leapfrogging the Giants, that's all.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, because we'd be giving up our spot, so...
Right.
And by the way, how about this? That everybody,
but somebody else could trade up.
Did you see this is the first time like in forever that all teams have their first round pick this year?
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
Keep this in mind. The Raiders just signed Geno Smith. You know, do they draft Shadur and develop him for a year or 2 or 3? Maybe. Or do they, you know, they're sitting at 6. If they want to do that and they want to make sure they could jump up.
Well,
you know,
Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports says they get him at 6. So,
well, which is quite possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the Giants don't take him for whatever reason, you know, I just think Joe Milton would be a really interesting guy, and we said this some time ago. You know,
I would take Joe Milton over any of the quarterbacks.
Brian Hoyer was on the morning show.
Yeah.
With the guys, and Brian talked about Joe Milton a little bit. And, you know, again, we threw this out some time ago about a possible draft pick at 4, you know, with New England. I wonder if you could get Milton in a deal. Here's what Brian Hoyer, Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback, had to say about that.
in the draft this year. Now, there's hindsight there because he's already in the NFL, and the Patriots have kind of dangled like they want a third-round pick, which probably means they'd take a fourth-round pick. If you're the Cleveland Browns or the Tennessee Titans or the New York Giants, and you don't feel like Shador or Cam are worthy of those picks, would you think outside the box? Now, look, the fans and the media might say, oh, you're passing, you could have this guy. But when you watch the tape and you watch what Joe Milton is capable of doing, if he was in this draft, he would be in the talk to be the number one quarterback.
And see, that's true. Draft profile grade for, again, whatever those are worth, he did not. He was like a 5.8 last year. And Cam Ward, I believe, is on top right now at, I think it's 6.4. You know, not stellar, but still. But that's thinking outside the box a little bit, as Brian talked about. I'd be really interested in trading down to four if New England had an interest in moving up to two. Or if you wanted to just, you know, maybe New England just wants to move on. They have two second-year quarterbacks now in Joe Milton and, you know, Drake May. So why would you – it's at some point they're going to move on from, I would assume, Joe Milton. Maybe if you make it worth their while, that happens this year.
All kinds of stuff there. What do you got?
Just a little bit of information, a statement from Mayor Justin Bibb here, quote, we have offered a viable proposal to keep the Browns playing on the lakefront in a reimagined stadium as the centerpiece of a huge lakefront development for half the cost to the public of the Dome in Brook Park. The Haslam scheme pays for itself on the backs of fans. The Haslams need to raise your taxes, make it more expensive for you to attend games, and steal events away from downtown Cleveland to pay for their stadium. The Haslam stadium ploy raises more questions than it answers, and it makes wild assumptions that will crush taxpayers. Again, that is a statement put out by Mayor Justin Bibb.
Where's the mayor getting his money?
I'm just not buying it. Look, I just think the city would have had this thing done when they had the opportunity to get it done, and now this is just like, let's go. If you listen to the podcast, if you listen to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, and you hear what Daryl's saying, this is just the city waiting for a check. It's all. I mean, if you really listen to what Daryl is saying, the city is waiting for a check on this. What, the city doesn't. Does the city have the money? Like, really? Hey, here's what I'm saying. If the city was going to pay how much? Even let's just say they had to come up with $500 million. Let's just say the city had to come up with $500 million. Does the city really have $500 million to put into a new stadium? That's my question.
Well. It's weird to me that he says the Haslam plan for Brook Park rides the taxpayers. Okay, well, then where is the mayor going to get his money to pay for what he says he's going to do on the lakefront?
Well, what you're saying, he wouldn't get his money from taxpayers?
That's my point.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Is he going to write a check? Personal?
Yeah, I'm not sitting here. I don't want to sit here and crush the mayor. But can
no,
we just get,
I don't either. But
let's just get this thing over with. Can the Browns just write them a check, push the old stadium in the lake, and let's call it a day? The state's already on board, right? It looks like the state's on board for the money.
Like
they want
600 mil or something like that?
Can we get a building that hosts more than 15 dates? Is that asking too much? Give me a building that hosts more than 15 dates.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a couple of the best days of the year coming up here, especially if you just want to chill out. Thursday through Sunday, this weekend and next weekend as well, as we talk college basketball. We go So the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, he can talk anything. Football, basketball, college football, college basketball, whatever it is. He is also the pride of Ohio University. He is Bill Bender from the Sporting News, where he is a senior writer. Hello, Bill, and welcome to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. How are you?
Hi, Bill.
I'm doing well, and you had to mention OU, unfortunately, losing to Toledo up there last week. That was a heartbreaker, but I'm threading between an NFL draft teleconference with Kuiper, OSU spring practice, and March Madness. So you guys are going to have to guide this one. Let me know where you want to start.
It's all good. You got the knowledge behind all of it, too. By the way, we brought this up yesterday because we're both Kent State guys. Do you find yourself, as an OU grad, still rooting for Akron, whoever wins the Mid-American Conference Tournament, once they get to the dance?
So when I was in college from like 99 to 02, Kent State went on their run, right, with Huffman and Gates and Shaw, that really great Kent State team.
It's our glory, man. Hang on, we're going to cry for a second. Okay.
Yeah, I was torn at the time because they beat OU in some really good games. But once they got in the tournament, I was pulling for them, especially because I just liked the coaches. I liked that team and really wanted them to go to the Final Four. But now as I've gotten older, I've gotten selfish. I'm like, I want OU to be the Final Four team. That said, like John Gross, took OU to a Sweet 16. A lot of people picking them against Arizona. They're going to have to get off to a fast start, though, with their guards, because Arizona has Caleb Love, and he's one of the best players in the tournament.
Teams that hit the three, Bill, can do some things. You never know who gets hot. Akron can hit the threes. They didn't against Miami, and it almost cost them. I think they have a chance against Arizona if they can go out and they get hot from behind that three-point line.
You know, you're right. And one of the things when I break down a bracket, a stat I always look at is three-point percentage and then how you defend the three-point line. And it's never perfect, because I remember like breaking that down last year, and then I think Clemson got in a game that they probably shouldn't have won, and they were on fire from three-point range. It's really I think it's the most unpredictable part of the tournament. Is teams, take St. Mary's, for example. They made 2 3-pointers in the West Coast Conference tournament, but you know they're a better shooting team than that. And when you watch this game now, that's what the game is, all the way down to the youth level, is guys shoot threes and how do you defend it, and that's how the upsets happen.
Bill, what do you think of the governor of West Virginia going crazy about the Mountaineers not getting in and just yelling and screaming about North Carolina? Then North Carolina comes through, and then DeVries leaves West Virginia to go to Indiana. I love this story. I think it's hysterical.
You know, I did bracketology for us this year, and I've done it over the years, and I had North Carolina in up until like Sunday morning. Then I listened to a couple podcasts, and you're watching TV, and you're like, I'm going to take them out. And I did. You know what I thought to myself when they were in? I was like, I know why they're in. Who cares about their quad one record? They have those blue shorts. That's why they're in. And, boy, did they show why they should be in last night. They played Caleb. R.J. Davis was great last night. And it's a really good basketball team. They could make some noise. Indiana, that was an interesting choice. I thought they might go after, like, a T.J. Offenberger or even McDermott at that point. But it's a good hire. And then West Virginia, I mean, come on, man. You can't send stuff like that, because when you're on the bubble, I think in basketball way more than football, as we figured out, if you're out, there's a reason why you're out. You probably lost too many games.
Bill, is the tournament okay the way it is? You know, there's always been talk about, do you expand to 128? Do you expand, let everybody in and play it down somehow, figure that out? Is the little bit of an expansion bringing in, you know, the play-in guys, is that a good thing? Do you like where it sits right now, or does it need tinkered with?
So I still have a printer, and I like to print it out on one page. I don't need to print out a two-page, three-page bracket. And I like 68. I like the play-in games that they have, that showcase in Dayton, and I just like the feel of it. I don't know that we need to expand it because, I mean, for me, I still watch the NIT. It depends on who's in it and you know, what the matchup is. But, you know, and then you have a third-string tournament behind that. So I would rather keep it at 68.
Bill, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Oh, gotcha. It broke up for a second. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, the SEC and Big Ten have mega conferences now, and they're going to get a lot of teams in. But you know, Big Ten only got 8 teams in, and you could make a case for Indiana and against, and you could have made a case for Ohio State. But I think everybody around here knows they, you know, the Northwestern loss was probably the beginning of the end of their tournament hopes.
Bill, you talked about that third tournament, the Crown, that's out in Vegas, where, you know, you win, you get $300,000 in NIL. Just your thoughts on that and what that did to the NIT. And I thought it was interesting that Ohio State chose not to go, and then that automatically said, well, you can't be in the NIT if you're not going to go to the Crown.
Well, Sporting News is not going to send me to the Crown and Big Ten Media Day in Vegas, so I've got to pick my spots. But I would have volunteered for that assignment. It's part of the game. You know, I was talking to Hunter Dickinson this morning for a story about him as Kansas gets into the tournament and just the opportunities that NIL and transfer. You always ask that question, what about NIL and the transfer portal? And Hunter had some really good thoughts. I mean, one, NIL is good. Every student athlete's going to say that. He was of the opinion that with the portal, he would like to see, and I think you've heard analysts say this too, maybe a two-year contract to start your college career. Then you can transfer if you don't like it after 2 years. And in college basketball, a little bit different. I guess if you have one good year and you want to go to the NBA, that's fine. I guess that's the potential mess. But that's where I land on those two things.
We've heard talk about, you know, a fifth year of eligibility all the way around. That's kind of been nixed. But the COVID year is going away. The concept of, you know, guys in their seventh year, and gals, seventh year of college basketball, that seems like it's going to end, Bill, you know, just because the COVID year is going away and everything else. Did they learn anything here that they should expand eligibility by another year, or should it be tidied up after what we've seen?
I'm torn on it. I think the medical hardship waiver is different, but other than, and then COVID obviously threw everything off. I tried my best to forget about 5 years ago when we lost the NCAA tournament and, you know, a couple months of our lives and those kind of things. But I think you should go back to, you know, you have 5 years, 4 years of eligibility, and if you redshirt, great. Football-wise, I mean, having that four games is great. But I do think I agree with the football coaches in general when you're talking about 26, 27-year-old players in college football. They've made kind of a joke of it in some places, and I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those guys that if you can figure it out in 4 years of eligibility, injury notwithstanding, then that's what we should have.
Bill, what does Jake Diebler's seat look like in Columbus right now?
We got to see how they can recruit. You know, when I look at Ohio State basketball over the years, I think Thad Matta spoiled us a little bit. Two things. One, Thad Matta did spoil us because they were almost guaranteed Sweet 16 every year, and he had some really good teams that were capable of winning the national title. And I look at Ohio State as a program that should win. I mean, what do you guys think? I think they should win 22 to 23 games every year.
There's no reason they shouldn't.
Yeah, I do too. I heard a lot of really bad stuff about Jake over last week. I'm like, hang on a second.
Right.
But then again, we did that with football too on this show, so we're okay. And then we ended up getting the last laugh with a big smile at the end with the national championship. So.
Well, and I know Jake a little bit. So my first newspaper job was in Upper Sandusky. I missed him and John by a year when they won the state championship. And so I've always kind of rooted for him in general because took Upper Sandusky to a state title. He's a point guard. He has that mind. I think he has a really strong passion for Ohio as a coach's kid. And I think getting Ohio kids in Ohio State, the elite ones, you got to land them. You know, Ohio basketball is really good, particularly here in Central Ohio. I know where you guys are, the D1, the high-level ball is really good. Let's get those Ohio kids at Ohio State. And if they don't go there, let's make sure we get them in those Ohio MAC schools, not the other MAC schools. I can say that on the air.
That's fair enough.
That is fair enough to say. The game itself, is there anything in college basketball that doesn't sit well that you think this is a change that needs to happen in this game? Should they move the three-point line maybe back to NBA? Is that becoming too easy of a shot in college basketball?
No, I wouldn't change much other than I think the tough part is it runs into problems because of the portal and guys leaving for the NBA, it's natural that you don't have the same teams. You know, I grew up in the 90s, which I think was the golden era of college basketball in my lifetime because you knew every Duke starter, you knew every North Carolina starter, you knew, like, on Monday night you were watching the Big East game of the week. I think the coaches, too, we've lost a lot of coaches that were – icons. So for me, watching Rick Pitino do what he has done at St. John's has been incredible. I was telling people last week, I was watching the Big East tournament. My son, Grant, he's an eighth grader, was watching one of the timeouts, and Pitino's hollering at the players. And I kind of looked at him and I said, yeah, it's okay to yell at you guys, okay? So, you know, you can coach hard still and be successful. And what he's been able to do, pretty cool. And by the way, Kansas, Arkansas, and St. John's, all in the same pod, self, Pitino, Calipari. That's 17 Final Four appearances. You can't tell me that's not going to be good TV.
Let me ask you this just final question here, too, because, you know, we sit back, and I do think it's different in different regions and the pockets of where your focus is on basketball, because I think sometimes we get sucked into the NBA because the Cavs are here. But so my question for you then is, when it comes to the tournament, do we love the tournament or do we love the spectacle of wall-to-wall basketball over the weekend?
I think we still love the other part more, the spectacle of, hey, I can have a game on. And, you know, in the modern day, we maybe don't know the players as much. We still like – I still like the process of watching the tournament. I always enjoy from a, you know, 20,000-foot view or whatever when everybody tries to pick their upset and say they were right. And I'm like, you know what, I fill out four brackets to make sure all of them are right or wrong. But – I do enjoy watching the 12s and 13s get through. I do think this tournament, I hope Cooper Flagg plays and is healthy, because that'll be fun. And, you know, my pick for the national championship game was Florida and Duke. Florida's playing very well around Walter Payton. This is their best team in a while. And they play a little defense, too. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a guy that this is one of my favorite weeks. The sun's up in Ohio for once. You know, you got tournament basketball, spring sports going on. You guys do have the Cavs up there, and you're going to be watching them in June, hopefully. They are an outstandingly fun basketball team. Outstandingly, I don't know if that's a word. They are very fun to watch.
We got our fingers crossed. We're a little. Some people are a little worried about the last two games. I don't know. I don't want to talk for Jeff, but I'm just kidding. I watched a couple things the last couple days. I'm like, ooh.
Somebody's freaking out, Bill, and it's not me.
I'm not freaking out. I'll be better as we move forward. All right, did you say you were at football today, 100%? Did you go to?
I was, and you know what? The competitive depth of Ohio State's roster is interesting. All the cameras were on the quarterbacks, Julian Sayin, Keen Holtz, and Fabian Sinclair spoke to the media afterward. And you know what? It was cool to see that banner up, and they, you know, what's the line now where you move on? Well, that was January 20th, and now you're at spring practice. That, we're not that far removed from that. So I think there's a vibe around there where they're going to compete, and, you know, we'll be keeping a close eye on that quarterback competition. They all have good things to say.
Well, who do you think it is going, like, today? If they had to play a game tomorrow, who would you – is it – who is it? I don't know.
I think it's going to be – if it were me today, and then judging off watching 10 minutes of – controlled practice, right?
Right.
I think, as Julian's saying, there's a lot around him that I like. I think wearing that number 10, quick release, everybody's going to talk about that, but it's going to come down to which guy can really lead this team. St. Clair looks huge, by the way. I didn't realize he was that tall. And then Keen Holtz looked like he put on about 20 pounds in that college weight room. So that competition will spill into the fall, but I would say Julian's saying would be my answer today, but you can't hold me to that when we talk next time.
It is going to be a totally different look team, with the exception of Jeremiah Smith on that offensive at the wide receiver spot. It's going to be interesting to watch Ohio State rebuilds and just I don't know your thoughts on moving into next year. I mean, I know they reload every year, but there's not a lot. I mean, you think about the guys that played last year, especially at running back and wide receiver. There's going to be new names for everyone to learn.
Yeah, and they're going to be hiccups early, and they better be ready to go, because who are they playing in week one? Texas with Arch Manning. And whoever wins that game, it's really going to be hard to hold down the hype of, okay, this team's going to win it all, because you're going to have Arch. You're going to have a new Ohio State quarterback. You got a lot of bodies. They played a classic semifinal. And so, yeah, I think there's going to be some, you know, anytime you lose that many guys on defense, but they do have Caleb Downs back, and anytime you lose that many guys on offense, but I did see Jeremiah Smith at practice, and I just – he's not playing on Sunday yet. It's like, wow, he's really good. So I do think they'll be right back in the mix in the Big Ten championship hunt. But you know, Penn State, Oregon, Michigan, they'll have something to say about it. It should be a good race at the top of those four teams.
Bill, outstanding. It was great talking to you. Love catching up with you, and I love getting all this knowledge from around the state. I'm not going to ask you about Olentangy, Orns, and Reynoldsburg in the D1 finals, so I'm just going to leave you off the hook on that one. But we appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you sometime in the near future.
All right, I'll let you guys get back to those Trevor Huffman highlights. Have a good day.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bill.
Appreciate it. Bill Bender, senior writer for the Sporting News. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Of course, the NCAA tournament continues on tonight with more first four action in Dayton, and we're looking forward to that. Did you watch any of it last night? There were a couple games last night, Jeff. Did you catch it?
I did not.
You didn't catch any of it? We watched a little bit of the Alabama State game, and then I caught a little bit of the UNC game as they beat San Diego last night, 95-68. I'm actually, you know, we talked a little bit about this. Are you rooting for UNC because they just got crushed by people saying they shouldn't have been in the tournament?
It's like rooting for the Yankees in a down year.
Is it?
Kind
of. I don't know. And then the Alabama State, and most people have seen the last play of the game, or the last, towards the last play, the second to last play of the game, as Alabama State beat St. Francis last night, 70-68. I mean, there's a couple things that I love about this tournament. One, we talk about schools that we never talk about, right? Have we ever talked about Alabama State, the Hornets, or St. Francis Red Flash out of Pennsylvania before? No.
On our show?
On our show, never.
Let me give that some thought.
Okay. You going to get back to me on that or no?
I don't believe we have.
Okay, well, now we have. We've actually talked about them. And so, you know, we get into this, and I asked Bill Bender about it too. Do we love the basketball?
Former head coach at Alabama State, you know who it was?
At Alabama State?
I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Are you dropping trivia on me here?
No, not really. Mo Williams.
Oh, okay. So just going back to this NCAA tournament, and Dan and I had this conversation yesterday too for a few moments. Do we love the tournament, or do we love the spectacle of wall-to-wall basketball? And I tend to think it's the later too. Bill Bender thought that too. That, you know, because there's like a feeling of withdrawal. Like this week, okay, so the games are early, and you watch all day, and it's like Thursday, and you're like, and you're watching teams you just don't care about, you've never heard about before. But all of a sudden, if it's a close game, you've now become a fan. And I think that's part of it. I think it's a little bit of it, and the folks that were down at the Mid-American Conference Tournament and the folks that'll be there this weekend, at Rocket Arena, the feeling of the venue is just different than a Cavs game. You bring in some cheerleaders and a marching band, or a jazz band, or a small band like
pep,
that.
Pep
band.
Yeah.
It just changes everything.
I love those bands.
I do too. There's something, I don't know.
The one thing, though, Andy?
There's the innocence of the game, I think, which is ridiculous because of, you know, NIL and getting paid and all this stuff and the big money that it is. But it's just like there's something about the innocence of the game that can remind me of being a young kid smelling popcorn when I walked in the gym at Cleveland Heights. You know?
I hope the attendance is okay here, but the one thing that it's always struck me about first round NCAA stuff is the lack of attendance at so many games. You know,
and you know why, right?
Well, for instance, Akron's playing in Seattle,
right?
It's not like, you know, they were playing in Pittsburgh last year, you could drive over for the day. I mean, that's a major commitment, and many of these schools are in that situation. I've been to some first round games, and it's you can just see it on TV sometimes. It's stunning how empty some of those buildings are for some of those games. And that's tough, but it's a TV thing. You got to play it down. I get it. I understand. Maybe you could lower ticket prices. I don't know what they are even, to be honest
with
you.
But I don't think that
I just, it's always stood out to me that, gosh, I wish these things were better attended.
It's a mobile crowd, though. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're going to have a session, and in the session you got four different teams,
right?
Which means you're going to have four different fan bases,
right?
That are going to go in there. I mean, it's not
but
miserable.
That just backs up my point.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say this, but the thing I think that it's like most miserable in this situation, and this is just homegrown, like watching the state hockey championship or watching the old state football championships at Ohio Stadium, where they could have had 20,000 people and it looks like nothing. And, you know, to watch, as much as I appreciate the fact that the Blue Jackets, you know, give the ice time up to the Ohio High School Athletic Association to play at horrible times, sometimes in the state Final Four, you could have 3,000 people there and it looks like no one's there. when you could see if they played at Bowling Green or if they played at Miami or if they played at some of these other places where 2,000 or 3,000 people looks like a lot of people. And it just changes the atmosphere. Ask those kids that played in Canton last week. All I've heard is how great that was for the state semifinals for those games that were down there. So, but I do think with the NCAA tournament is you get teams that get knocked out, and now you've got empty seats for people that were hoping that their team advanced to the second phase instead of the, you know, everyone that bought their tickets for the first game. And do I buy tickets for just one game, or am I buying both sessions? Am I buying a group? That, you know, you're still trying to figure that out. I that doesn't bother me for some reason in the NCAA tournament with basketball. I don't know why. I mean, do you know how hard it would be for fans to get to Dayton on, you know, yesterday or today if you're coming from California? That's not easy. There's nothing easy about that.
You can't get there from there.
No. I love it. I just think, do you do brackets yet or no?
I don't do brackets.
Oh, you don't do them at all?
Mm-mm.
Really? Not even online, just for fun?
I used to do them when Poobah would push it.
Right.
Okay, here. Take my meager money and away you go.
I could ask this question too, and I always find this interesting. Is filling out brackets gambling?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it is too. I don't know why there are people like, oh, it's just brackets.
Right. Of course
it is. It's just brackets.
Did you throw money into a pot and do you get more money back if you win? That's called gambling.
See, sometimes I wonder about it though, because if the house doesn't get money, you know what I'm saying? If the house doesn't win money because you bought through them,
true.
Does that change the dynamic of the whole thing?
I don't know. We used to, back in the day, we had a group of like eight guys who would draft eight teams each in the tournament and count the total number of wins that your eight teams had. I found that a more enjoyable way of being invested in the tournament than just doing brackets.
I always thought it was fun too to do the blind draw where you throw all the names of the teams in a hat and then everyone puts in $1 or $2 or whatever, and then you get to pick tickets.
So
out of
you
there.
Gambled that way.
Yeah, you talk about blind gambling.
Hell,
that's
yeah,
completely blind. So anyway, good luck with all of your brackets and what you're doing, and we're going to be following along too. You know who's got more info for us,
ooh,
especially on what's going on here in Cleveland? Tom Withers. It's not news until Tom Withers says so. That is next right here on Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.